It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already mid-February. Hope everybody celebrated Valentine's Day just yesterday, Friday, February 14th. Want to give a big shout-out to my guest last week, Krista Keddy, who's one of our fabulous registered dental hygienists and a wellness solution specialist. And Krista was talking about going to the dentist when you're pregnant and basically shared a lot of information encouraging expecting moms to still continue to go to the dentist. So Krista did a great job, and she does a great job for us promoting health, rural wellness, visiting dental offices, visiting employers at their benefit fair. So thank you, Krista, for a great job last week. My running friends, thank you for running with me and being patient with me at the Pat's Peak last Saturday. We had two loops running up and down Pat's Peak. It took me an hour and 20 minutes. For those people that did two loops like myself, I finished dead last, but I had fun. And sort of running up, or in my case, walking slowly up the double black diamond took me a while, but we did it twice and we had a lot of fun. So you may not know this, but February is National Children's Dental Health Month. And this weekend with me is a guest that we've had before, Dr. Ron O'Davitt. And Ron, thank you for joining me this weekend, and thank you for your great work that you do for Northeast Delta Dental. I appreciate
it. Glad to be here.
Now, tell us again, people always want to know a guest's background. So tell us your background as a dentist, where you went to school and your career, and then we'll fast forward to National Children's Dental Health Month.
Sure. My dad was a dentist, practiced in Newburyport, Massachusetts, and I graduated in 1987 from the University of Texas in San Antonio Dental School, and came back and joined him in 1987 and practiced a couple of years with him. And then I went on and practiced there for 25 years after he retired. And then following that, I've been teaching at Tufts in the dental clinic for the undergraduate dental students. And for the past year, I've also been working for Northeast Delta Dental.
So working with Dr. Joe Arante and Dr. Donald Cox in the professional relations area, tell us what the days that you come in, typically what would be your day like at Northeast Delta Dental?
So I come in and would go on.
After you have coffee.
After I have coffee,
and
yes.
Chat with people.
And chat with people and get
settled in.
Then I would turn on my computer and would begin to assess different dental claims, be it regarding issues looking at x-rays and photos and clinical notes regarding whatever is being claimed by the providing dentist.
And we try to, our responsibilities at Northeast Delta Dental, the triangle represents, we try to balance fairly the interests of our dentists in the dental community, the employers, the group, what we call the group purchasers, who literally pay the bills, and then the third leg of the triangle are the patients. And of course, Dr. Davitt's role, along with our other in-house consultants, is to make sure that we're being this fidelity to the dental benefits contract as well as practices of care. So thank you for being part of the team. We've got a great team now led by our Vice President, Dr. Joe Arante. Our Dental Director, Donald Cox, who has been on the show with me before, is still with us. And we have a whole cadre of a part-time dental dentists that come in, and that's what makes Delta Dental special, because we have dentists that work with us, and of course we also have, you know, 7 dentists out of the 15 on our board of directors are dentists. So we definitely have the the profession in mind, and we think we are, from that perspective, a unique insurance company. This month, though, what we're talking about is National Children's Dental Health Month. So let's start out with a little bit of history, like when did it start, and some history there, and then what this year's theme is, and then we'll get into dentists for kids and what that's all about.
Okay. Well, in 1941, in Cleveland, they had a one-day celebration or yearly day regarding children's dental health, and it expanded then to a week in 1955, and in 1981, it became the month of February. And as you can see, longer periods of time as years went by, it's because science and dentistry has shown the importance of getting early checks for children and to keep up with their oral health.
In fact, one of the things that we do with our partner, Tufts Freedom, is we have a program called Dentist by One, and that is basically, making sure you get your baby into the dental office either when the first tooth erupts or certainly, by age one. When we were growing up, I think, Ron, and certainly even when I was raising my four children, there was a notion maybe age three or four, but clearly it should be by age one.
Correct. We recommend now that by age one, if you want to try earlier, then the first tooth that erupts is around 6 months. But to get it started, that whole process very early.
So we have one of our granddaughters, Havana. She actually's just over a year. She has four little teeth, and she saw our good friend Dr. Mitch Corray not too long ago. And, he did a great job. So the slogan for 2020 is "Fluoride in water prevents cavities. Get it from the tap." So tell us what the genesis of that is, as well as community water fluoridation in general.
Sure. So this year, 2020, we're celebrating the 75th anniversary of community water fluoridation. Grand Rapids, Michigan, in 1945, was the first city in the world to commit to public water fluoridation. And the Center for Disease Control has named community water fluoridation one of the 10 great public health achievements in the 20th century. And we know from studies and statistics that it prevents tooth decay, it reduces the amount of tooth decay by 25% in adults and children.
And those are just the facts. Again, one of the 10 greatest public health achievements. Clearly a reduction, in caries both in children and adults. Unfortunately, there's still, occasional controversies about it, but I can tell you that every legitimate dental scientist, dentist, insurance company knows that, fluoride in water, prevents, cavities. So thanks for bringing that to our attention. So let's now, since it is Children's Dental Health Month, let's talk about the preservation of baby teeth or primary teeth, because sometimes I hear from parents, well, the tooth is just going to fall out anyway. So let's dispel that and get into the preservation of primary teeth.
Okay. Well, it's critical that we try to maintain these baby teeth. They erupt from 6 months up to 3 years, and the presence of those teeth allow children to bite and chew food. They're critical for speech development. They aid in the development of facial bones and muscles due to the fact that they can chew and speak properly. And they also hold space for the permanent teeth. And if those baby teeth are present and come out when they're supposed to and not earlier, they guide those permanent teeth into position.
And roughly, when do permanent teeth start coming in? And it goes on for a while too, right?
It does. So permanent teeth, typically the first permanent tooth would erupt around 6 years of age. and can go on up to the age of 21. And it can end sooner than that. Everybody's a little different. We can have a permanent tooth erupt at 5, and it might end at 18. Everybody's different that Great. Way.
That's awesome. We'll return to the Health World Wellness Program, but tell us, so if you're a new mom and you have this bundle of joy at home, and you start seeing the teeth erupt, obviously at that point, that's your trigger to get the, if you haven't already, go to the dentist. What about cleaning your baby's gums and helping her or him, you know, brush her teeth?
Yes, and even before that first tooth erupts, you can wash the gums after eating or drinking with a damp washcloth. And then when you see that tooth erupt, you can start with a soft brush. You can use a dry toothbrush at first. And if you want to add a little bit of fluoridated toothpaste, you only put a very little bit, about the size of a piece of rice on there, and you brush and just clean those teeth as much as you can.
What about baby bottle syndrome, education and cultural things in terms of sending the baby to bed, you know, with a bottle? Tell us, you know, some of the problems associated with that.
So we know that cavities are caused by bacteria in the mouth that combine with sugary foods or drink or whatever. So when we put our child to bed, if we allow them to drink things that have sugars in them, milk has sugar in there, juices do, and of course soda. If we do that, then that will coat those teeth and make them much more prone to a cavity as it sits on those teeth overnight. So we recommend that if a child wants a drink before bed, that it be water, so that in water there's not going to be anything that's going to cause a cavity to form.
So one of the hallmarks of our Prevent Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness, or PANDA program, is to make sure that we educate the world on that. So thank you for explaining that. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental. Here we are Saturday, February 15th and 16th, and I hope everybody had a great Valentine's Day yesterday, and it was a fun day at Northeast Delta Dental. This weekend with me is Dr. Ron Davitt, who is one of our great dentist in-house consultants. We have several. It's a great team. And as I mentioned before commercial break, one of the special things about Northeast Delta Dental, we understand our responsibilities as an insurance company to make sure that the professional part of our business, the dentist part of our business, is adequately represented in our company, both in the employee population, but as well as our board of directors. We also recognize our educational responsibilities. That's what today's show is all about, and the fact that everybody deserves a healthy smile. So one of the things that we conveyed this week at a legislative reception is the importance of an adult dental benefit for the Medicaid population, because right now there is no dental benefit for adults. For children there is, but not for adults. And one of the points I made to the legislators, it actually will reduce chronic medical conditions if in fact people go to the dentist. So we have a oral health responsibility for all of our citizens, and everybody deserves a healthy smile. So back to Ron, and so now we have this little bundle of joy at home, and Ron just explained, you know, don't send the baby to bed, you know, with milk in the bottle, because it can basically, for lack of a better term, sort of cause cavities and sort of rot out the gums in a way. But what about, as well, we all as moms, dads, and grandpas and grandmoms, we probably occasionally share forks and spoons with the baby. So tell us why, that in general, that's not a good idea.
Well, the reason for that is that cavities are an infectious disease. caused by a particular bacteria called strep mutans. And so if you share utensils or anything else with a child and they put what you had in your mouth in their mouth, then you're transferring your load of bacteria to them, which can in turn cause cavities in their mouth.
Great explanation. I know it's tempting. I'm a grandpa. I'm tempted, but Ron's been on the show before, so you know I sort of understand that. Let's get into some statistics, and to some extent, these are startling. I sort of know from my work when I was chair of the State Board of Education that after the common cold, the number one reason for lost days at school were oral health issues. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact. And similarly, in the workplace, issues related to oral health pain are also top on the list for missing work days. So to some extent, these statistics are not startling, but in other ways, the fact that we've had fluoride for 75 years, there's a good percentage of kids at age 2 and above that have cavities. Tell us about that, Ron.
Yes, it seems that despite the fact that cavities are preventable, and we've known this for many years, that we still have 43% of kids age 2 to 11 in the United States that have had one or more cavities. Of that 43%, 13% have untreated cavities, which seems to be high based on what we know and what's available. And it is the most common chronic disease of children 6 to 11 and adolescents 12 to 19. It's 4 times more common than asthma in adolescents.
Wow, that's startling. Amazing. Everybody's, you know, asthma seems to be really prevalent, and
yes,
you're saying it's 4 times as much. Now, I know we've done a good job. We have oral health coalitions in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, and we invest a lot in the community beyond traditional dental insurance. We have recently given a very significant grant to Easter Seals, so the Medicaid population before there's a Medicaid benefit can get their teeth handled. And yet, I think we might rank in the middle of the pack in terms of the United States. So tell us what you know about where we stand from an oral health perspective, the quality of our oral health.
Okay. So there are surveys that are done on a regular basis, and you can look state by state and compare the oral health of, say, New Hampshire and any other state in the country, and they rank them. And New Hampshire happened to come in 26th, Maine 34th, Vermont 27th, Massachusetts 8th, Rhode Island 15th, and Connecticut 5th. Now, when they do these rankings, they look at 50 different categories: access to dental care, how much dental insurance is available in that particular state, the Medicaid issue, which Tom had mentioned. So there's a lot of factors here. And one thing I did notice as I looked at these different surveys, that New England, New Hampshire in particular, has improved over the last several surveys.
So and that's good to know, because yes, when the Endowment for Health got established, when Blue Cross New Hampshire was sold to Anthem, we actually had oral health was the number one theme, and we've had the New Hampshire Oral Health Coalition, we've had Sealant Coalition. So while we still are in the middle of the pack in terms of other states, we definitely have improved. And the good news is that in New Hampshire, there's 1.2 million of us. There are 900 dentists. We can get our hands around the issues. And if we add this adult benefit in the Medicaid program,
I think we'll definitely
jump up, because there's been a lot of grassroots campaigns on, Sealant coalitions and things like that. So great. Well, we'll keep track of that. So what we're now going to do is what I call a lightning round. I'm just going to ask Ron to address certain topics. So we hear the term dental home a lot. What exactly does that mean?
The dental home is the ongoing relationship between a patient and a dentist, and it includes all aspects of oral health care delivered in a comprehensive and accessible family-centered way. So basically, you develop a relationship at a very young age. We're talking about Children's Dental Health Month with your child and a dentist.
And that's what our goal is. Now, we have certain programs. We have a teledentistry program where we're bringing hygienists and dentists to the Boys and Girls Club, for example, and we get the teeth clean and their x-rays get transmitted, and then the child then is seen maybe at the East Seals Dental Center. But ultimately, I think you would agree, Ron, that both a child and their family and their mom and dad, if they have a dental home, they'll be able to sustain the good oral health habits a lot better than if they don't have a dental home.
No question.
Now, we already mentioned we want to get the baby into the dentist by one or when the first tooth ruts.
Yes.
After that, how often should a child be examined by a dentist?
At least every 6 months, and more often, depending on the dentist or hygienist will assess the caries rate of the child. If there's a lot of cavities, they might want to see the child more often than 6 months.
And speaking of cavities or caries, that basically is a hole in the tooth that penetrates the enamel. What are the causes of cavities?
So basically, we have, when we eat food, a plaque forms, which is a biofilm with bacteria in it. This bacteria we mentioned before, Streptococcus mutans, will combine with the plaque and convert certain foods, sugary foods, into an acid, which causes the hole or cavity in the enamel.
Great. Now, as far as toothpaste, when I asked this of your colleagues that I've had on the show, in terms of an adult, the answer generally is, as long as your toothpaste has fluoride, and it's really personal preference for
there.
But as far as a baby, tell us, if a baby is less than 2 years old, what should you do with toothpaste?
I think less than 2 years old, we would recommend a non-fluoridated toothpaste on your finger. Or a washcloth, or a dry toothbrush. And once you get to the child reaches 2 to 6, you can put that little small smear, rice-sized, fluoridated toothpaste on a brush.
Great. And we've already explained the importance of fluoride, so thank you for saying that.
And make sure the parent always to the child distributes. Don't let the child take the tube.
That's true. I know that. My granddaughter. How about flossing? I know it's very important as an adult to floss. What about, again, a toddler?
So as soon as two teeth come in side by side, that's the time to introduce floss and begin to floss the baby's teeth.
Great. Now, we've talked about fluoride, of course, it's a mineral, but how exactly does fluoride work to prevent cavities?
So fluoride, the ions that make up fluoride, are incorporated into the tooth enamel, and in what that does is it makes the enamel more resistant to decay or acid that we talked about that's formed by the bacteria.
Great. As part of the Health World Wellness Program, since I'm self-reporting here, my score is 3, so I get the additional cleanings and they apply fluoride varnish upon the completion of my cleaning. What exactly is fluoride varnish?
So fluoride varnish, I'm not sure how many years we've had it now, but it's been a fantastic asset that we have. It's a high concentration of fluoride that's combined with a resin so that it sticks to the teeth. And it's usually applied after your cleaning is done by your dentist or hygienist. And it really can't be swallowed. And it's left on teeth for several hours, and then it's just brushed right off. And you can drink, eat, right away after it's applied, which is really helpful.
And it's part of the additional benefits you get at no cost to you if you're a Delta Dental subscriber with the Health and Wellness Program. Quickly, we're running out of time, but Dental Sealant, we talked about the Sealant Coalition. That's a plastic or resin that covers the grooves in the biting surface of the back teeth. That's proven to work really well in children, correct?
Definitely. Proven very well to work.
Mm-hmm. And finally, everybody's always concerned about radiation and x-ray. So tell us the safety of that, and when should a child get his or her first x-ray?
So we recommend about 3 years old so that we can look at all the primary teeth once they've erupted to see if we have a cavity in between the teeth, which we couldn't see. The x-rays that we use today in dentistry are extremely low in any exposure to radiation, and they're very focused so that it's right on the teeth, and there's very little, if any, scatter. Okay. And it would be every 12 to 24 months, again, depending on how cavity-prone the child is.
Great. And as those of you worried about braces, the first orthodontist visit is generally 7 years old after the first permanent molars have erupted.